I just wanted to, at the Lion's request, I discussed one idea. It came out in Shear, but I just wanted to elaborate a little bit further about one point that we dealt with in the Mishnayos. And somebody, if I don't get to it, which is not likely I will, but somebody might want to turn it into an article. One of the things that we discussed certain of the very difficult passages in the Mishnah in this regard along the way. One of the ideas that I think is happening in the Tanaim is that this idea that which is found in the Mechilta de Rashbi, that you have to perform a kiddushin, that after mefateh or ones, that there is no bond whatsoever between the man and the woman, and if they want to get married, she wants to marry him. In the case of ones, the way Bavli reads, the way everybody reads, the Ones has no choice. That's pretty beferish in the Torah, or close to beferish. And that a Mefateh, the way the Bavli reads, the Mefateh has a choice. And that basically, that you have to perform a Kiddushin, they're not married, there's no connection between them whatsoever. An Ones is Mechuyev to marry her. A Mefateh, there's a choice, but they're not connected at all. And one of the difficulties the Bavli and Yerushalmi both note immediately was that when they talk about the difference between Ones and Mefateh and when they pay the Knas, so the Mishnah said that an Ones is no saying Amiyad and the Mefateh is no saying Lechashiyotzi. The Ones pays immediately and the Mefateh pays when he divorces her. So the Bavli immediately asked the question, you know, she's not his wife. What do you mean when he divorces her? So the answer that Abaye gave in the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi quotes some other Babylonian Amora gives, is that kishelo yichnas. If he chooses not to marry her, then he pays the knas. And as we point out, the Ramban says, and I think the Rambam holds this way as well, that if he marries her and subsequently divorces her, minatoru, there's no payment at all. Because both the Rambam and the Ramban hold ksubas the Rabbanan, and the Rambam is very, very clear. The Rambam is clear that the mitzvah is to be kones the mefateh, but if the mefateh marries her, then he doesn't pay knas. There's no mention of a knas at a later point. But I think that when you look at the sum total of Tanakh literature, I think that the Tanaim may hold of a different shita. The Tanaim seem to believe that when you have an ones and mefateh, there is something of a bond that is created between them. And therefore, if you assume for the moment, which I'm not going to assume, but if you assume for the moment that it's full kiddushin, then you understand why the Mishnah says mefateh is no saying lechashayotzi. Right? And also, the other line in the Mishnah, the Gemara didn't address, which was that the ones is shotzev atzitzo, the ones has to marry her. He drinks from the pot, right? He made in it, he drinks from it now, whereas the mefateh in ratza lehotzi motzi. So again, the same question, what do you mean ratza lehotzi motzi? They're not married. In ratza shelo lichnos lo yichnos. The Bible, I don't think, talks about that line, but presumably the teretz would be the same. But I think that the Mishnah, the Mishnayos, and the Midrashim seem to be assuming that, in fact, there is some type of a bond that is created between them. The only kasha you would have again, and I'll tell you why that's significant at the moment. The only kasha you would have against that is from the Mechilta de Rashbi. The Mechilta de Rashbi says, as Beferish says, you have to make a kiddushin by mefateh. Mahoyim arena lalisha. Don't think that now they could just be married. Rather, he has to be mekadesha. That would suggest that they're not married at all. So, the truth be told, I'm not sure that in itself undermines what I want to suggest. Firstly, the first point that I think has to be addressed is, what did the Tanaim think about? Okay, so fine. Let's assume for the moment I'm correct that some bond, some pseudo bond of marriage is created. But how do they break that marriage up? So normally we think that ein eish ish ish yotze b'lo get. So the truth is, if we were talking about the standard eish ish ish, so then you would be correct, and that would be really the end of the discussion, and I would be wrong. However, there are a lot of institutions within kiddushin. There are a lot of kinds of kiddushin, and we're not going to delve into them. I'm going to mention them because I think you should at least be aware of them. There are a lot of institutions of kiddushin that exist, and some min haTorah that don't fit the standard type. The most well-known... Now, what would you say, look, if I am correct, but you read the Psukim in Mishpatim, that Maharyim Arena Lodi Shav, Ma'inim Ainavia Lisitalo, Kesef Yishkol, Kimawar Habsilos, what would you say that the process of breaking of the bond of marriage would be in the case of Mefateh, when, again, whoever has the right to refuse, the Torah's Beferish says the father, all the sources say the daughter as well, and only the Bavli against some Beferish and Midrash Halacha, the Bavli says that the man himself has the choice also not to marry. But whoever has the right to do it, what would you say the process of breaking up the marriage is?
You have to be married in the first, because Yima implies that they're not married, and now it's the Rishus of whoever it is then to go along with the marriage, implying that they weren't married.
No, so you're arguing against the so that I'm suggesting, yeah. But I'm just going to tell you the following. What does it mean, L'sitalo? Yima'in Yima'in Avi'a L'sitalo. Those of you doing Bikias, if you're up to date with the Bikias, or maybe you're not there yet, but maybe you are, if you're doing the Bikias, you should already appreciate. What does it mean, lesita lo? Esbiti nosati lo ishazeh. What does the Nesina refer to, Yitzi? No, it does not. No, Yaakov, what did you say? No. What does
she goes to Beit Baal?
Yes, which is Nisuin. Big difference. So one could argue, Ma'ina Sitalo, in other words, there is a ban, but if the father's not willing to finish the deal, then he pays Kesef Kamar Apsulos. What? Ah, so I want to know, what dissolves this ban, Yitzi?
No, but just to kind of attack that point, when he says, I gave my daughter to this man, he's not part of the enactment of the Nisuin.
He absolutely is. A daughter has Kiddushin. They can't do, if she's a Kitan or Nara, she cannot do Nisuin without the father. Cannot be done. And the thing that basically is Motzi Hermish Averson does basically one thing. Pashtus does one thing in terms of changing the status of a girl. I'm not calling Nisuin for now. That's a whole question whether this. If you read the sugya, it sounds like there's an in-between stage. But putting that aside, Averson accomplishes only one change, other than making the girl an Ashes Ish. So that if she's a Nara and she commits adultery, or if she's a Katana, and the man is a Gadol, that he'll be Chayavis, or they'll both be Chayavis, so she's a Nara as well. Averson changes only one thing, at least that comes to mind immediately, in the status of the girl. What is that? No, it's besides making her an Ashes Ish. Hatharas Nadar. The father, when she's a Nara and single, the father's making the Nadar. When she has Averson, it's a Hathar Bishutfus. It's a partnership. You need both the father and the Aros to do it. That's it. The real transfer, Yitzi, the real change in all status of all the mamonos, and for a Kohen, assuming, not like the Rambam, assuming that a Kohen be mitame the ishto is a dindo raisa, it's not midibri sofrim, that change happens when you have nisuin. Yerushas, a machlokas tanaim amorayim, probably shown whether it's the raisa or abanon, if you hold Yerushas the raisa, it's not Erison that makes the husband to be Yerush's wife, it's nisuin. So nisuin is the transfer. So don't prove it to me, lisitalo, very good question, but lisitalo could just refer to nisuin. Okay, so now, yes, Alex, what are you going to
say? Perhaps we could even say that Ashel or Asa, that part of the logic, that there's a pre-existing Yerushim that is impossible for this.
That might, oh, so if, again, so you could say that, but I don't, in other words, not necessarily, because Asher lo Orasa, Alpi Pshad, according to Ibn Ezra Rashbam, is it means if she is Orasa now, you're right, it's Nachal, but she's Ashes Ish, so it's a different parsha.
Could giving the money be the Gershon?
That would be very, I didn't think about that, it would be very interesting, because you could say Makish Yitzia Lahavaya, which is the Gemara Zahava meaning in Kiddushin, wants to know, how do you know, right, Shtar, and so on. But I think there's something more obvious there. What's that? Miun. In mo'ein yimo'ein avila sitalo. Now, the reason I say this may sound strange, but there is a concept with the Rabbanan called kiddush miun. I mentioned this in Shir before. If you have a katana whose father is dead, or a nara whose father, well, not nara, excuse me, katana, whose father is dead or married her off once with Nisuin. And by the way, that's another example. A father marries his daughter off. He's Mekabel Kiddushin. It's Kiddushin Daraisa, even though she's 6 years old. It's Kiddushin Daraisa requires a get midaraisa. However, what happens if she gets divorced? So if it's Minha Averson, she is Choseris Lebeis Aviyah. She is once again in his Rishus, and he could marry her off again midaraisa. If, however, she's had Nisuin, that bond is permanently severed. If her husband divorces her or dies, she has minatora, nobody can marry her off. Her father can't because she's not Rishuso anymore, because Nisuin is Mafkiya the Rishus Ha'am, and she can't marry herself off because she's a katana, she doesn't have dots. What's that?
Now she has to wait until she's 12.
To have Kiddushin Daraisa, she'd have to wait till she's 12, but Midrabanan, when the father was dead, that she might do it, the mother and brother might do it. In theory, if the father were alive, anyone know, what do we call that situation when the father's alive, but she is effectively has no father? Yisoma b'chayei ha'ab is the term. She is an orphan while the father is alive. Right? She's an orphan because her father has no rishus over her anymore. So in that case, the Chachamim created an institution of Kiddushin midrabanan, and she gets married, and how do you dissolve that Kiddushin? Well, if she becomes a Nara and doesn't and nothing transpires, she remains married, she becomes married midaraisa. However, if she wants out, he can give her a get. But if he doesn't want to give her a get, but if she wants out, how can she get out? She does miyum. She says, I'm not interested in you, or goodbye, have a nice day. Yeah, the Mishnah is in the 13th parak of Yevamos.
This is after she's a nun? This is
while she's a katana. Once she's
she doesn't even have the das to enter the marriage, so why does she have the das to get out?
She has das midrabbanan to enter the marriage, and the minyan works midrabbanan. The whole point is once she turns into a nara, it's a whole question, is it just coming of age, or does she at least have to have bia with her husband at that point? And that bia would constitute, could constitute the kiddushin. So once she turns into a nara, it's too late, because now the kiddushin will be chal midaraisa, now you need to get. But while she's a katana, you have miyun. So the question is, where did the Chacham come up with this institution of Miyam from? We often assume, my Rebbe Rushecht always likes to say, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun, so the Rabbanon create a rabbinic institution, it's usually modeled upon a Daraisa. So it's Efshar, that in fact this is the this could be the model of the Daraisa. In other words, this is the original Kiddushei Miyun. That in Mo'ein Yema'ein Avila Sitalo, and Chazal say Mo'ein, not only the father, but the daughter as well, maybe him also, according to the Bavli, so they do Miyun, end of discussion. Okay, that's a possibility. The only thing that's quasi, I know, is I think that if you're going to assume that there's a ban midoraisa, you're going to have to assume that miyun is what dissolves it. But there are a couple other institutions midoraisa that serve as a quasi model for it. Yes, Shalyan?
I was simply going to ask that point. Are there any other midoraisas that are comparable to something as informal as miyun, as obviously as formal as the connection?
Okay, so I don't know. One sugya that I don't know enough to know all the shitos and the Gemara's maskana, what the Rishonim say. Someone suggested to me, so whoever it is, take credit for it, is Eishes Yifas Tor, this week's Parsha. Okay, there's a very, again, you read that, B'shilach Tol and Afsha, so the question is, does that really involve a get or not? I don't remember. There it could be Chazal might say you need a get. No, but Al Pipshuto Shel Mikra, Al Pipshuto Shel Mikra, at least. The problem is that when I talk about the Maskana of the Gemara, I'm not going to see the position of Tanaim. Eishes Yifas Tor, I don't remember how much material it is at Tanaim. So that's all I'm saying. You have to look. If I knew the sugya well, or even semi-well, I'd probably have the answer. But if you just look at Pshuto Shel Mikra in this week's Parsha, my theory will be that the Eishes Yifas Tor doesn't require a get. Who requires a get? Ki kach ish isha uvala. Right, by Yom, so regular kiddushin requires a get, but Eishes Yifas Tor might not. I don't know. Number one. Number two, Yibum. Yibum is an interesting case, and I'll tell you why that's very interesting. When a man dies without children, his brother is supposed to do Yibum or Halitza. Those of you who, anybody here still from the age of Yibamos and Yeshiva? No. Albert?
Half of it.
A half of it. Okay. So, sorry. My God. What? Okay. So in Yibamos, you know that it seems to be a din doraisa of some sort, that the Yivama is bound to the brothers through what we call a Zika. That's the term. And that Zika is a din d'oraisa, and she's not an Eishes Ish. So if she sleeps with a Hachutza, someone who's not from the family, not one of the brothers, there's no Mises based in it. It is a lav of some kind. It's Machlokas, Rav, and Shmuel, whether the Kiddushin or not Tosin, whether the Suffolk Tosin. But at the end of the day, there is this idea of a quasi-marriage if she's not a full-fledged Eishes Ish. And now, the way she that marriage, how do you dissolve that marriage? Chalitza. There is another sugya also I don't know so well. I think it belongs with Eishes Yifas Tor. This one is definitely in the first parak in Kiddushin, is Yiyud. Yiyud of an Amah HaEvriya. So there's a whole discussion in the Gemara about that, how that works. And whether or not the original Kesef that was given with the Mechira, is that the Kesef of Kiddushin? If he decides to be Mi'ayid her. So again, you have this at this sort of liminal state. Not quite Mikudeshes, but, you know, of the Amah HaEvriya, but partially on the way that the Maisa Kiddushin might be the Nesina of the Kesef originally from the Adon to the father. So you have now, the one thing I like about the Yibam issue, and here once again I'm going to invoke the Kain Daraisa, when you do a proper, firstly, how is Yibam accomplished in HaTorah? Kiddushin is accomplished by one of three means. They are? How is Yibam accomplished in HaTorah? Bia only. What is the proper rabbinic practice when you do Yibam? What do you do first? You do what's called a ma'amar. Mem Aleph Mem Resh. You perform a kiddushin by the kesef or shtar, and then you do the Yibam. It's not ma'akev, but you're supposed to make a ma'amar. Which is a very, very... And, by the way, that ma'amar has ramifications. They look like they're mostly midrabanan, but you never know whether they have daraisa roots. In terms of if one brother does a ma'amar, it prohibits any of the other brothers from doing the Yibam. Even though, really, the ma'amar should be nothing in HaTorah, because the only thing that's recognized in HaTorah is Yibam. So I was kind of wondering, again, the fact that the Mechilta de Rashbi says you have to do a Kiddushin, so could that be a din d'oraisa of ma'amar on which the Yibam one is patterned? I can't prove any of it. It's the reason I raise this whole approach is because the language of the Tanoim is so strange, and that Tosefta that we some of us broke our heads over about Ma Bein Nosei Minadi Nosei La'achar Sma, whether Bala Yorsha or Avia Yorsha Bala Yorsha, which makes absolutely no sense if you assume that she's not married. What do you mean Bala Yorsha? So bottom line is there's enough evidence, there's enough passages in the literature, in the language of the Tanaim themselves, which suggest a kind of different approach to the case. I'm not comfortable saying that a get is required because the Ikar's Chasim are not safer, but the possibility that Miun might be enough to dissolve this Zika of Mefater Ones, that I think is something that should be seriously considered. Because if you say that, so then the language becomes a little bit more reasonable. In other words, a Mefater Ones is no semiyat. And here, by the way, would suggest, if I'm right, that at least some of the Tanaim held that the husband does have a right of refusal, like the father and the daughter, because ha-mefateh l'chashayotzi. In other words, if he decides to do miun and not let this marriage go forward in its full sense, then he's got to pay the knas, which is really before they actually go through marriage, because they're not really married yet and they haven't lived this marriage. And when we say that ha-ones shoseh v'atzitzo, ha-ones v'ha-mefateh in ratza l'hotzi motzi, that means exactly that. He has the right to do miun, as opposed to the ones who has no right to say, I don't want to marry her. Yes, Yitzhak.
How much of the procedure is
Minatora? Minatora, Rekika, Amira, and Chalitza. And only we paskin, only the chalit itself is ma'keves, provided that they're roi to do the other two things. So that's in the Mishnayos already, in the 13th parak, 12th or 13th parak.
So why? I mean, that's like, all right, I guess that now.
So this is not chalita, this is something else. I'm highlighting yiyud, eshes sefas toar, and yibum as situations of deraisa kiddushins, which are not the standard flavors of regular kiddushin. Shlaim?
So we're saying that in Ratz Lachotzi Motzi in the Mishnah, and Hamafata Lachiyotzi, that refers not to Girushin the Tamiyun.
Tamiyun, possibly.
Okay. Are there other instances in the Mishnah where in Mishnaic literature where the term Lachotzi refers to something other than Girushin?
You have to look in the Mishnayos that deal with Miyun and Yavamos to see whether or not you have such a term there. I don't want to me to say that you require a get mamish. That's really radical. Because that would mean she's an Ashes Ish now, and that's really hard to sort of wrap your mind around. But the idea that she could be sort of this lower level, I just wonder about that. Sorry, finish the line.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so all we're saying is that like Miyun is a bit more formal than perhaps we otherwise might have assumed.
Correct. Because that's the way that functions by Yibum as well.
I understand that you could say that the father and daughter can do that. I just don't understand how you could say that the Mefate
he refuses to marry her. In other words, Chazal's drasha is a ma'ein yema'ein, and your marba, all these people can be ma'ein.
But then why wouldn't the
Bavli
use the
lashon of ma'ein? The Bavli doesn't hold this way. The Bavli doesn't read the Tanaim this way. That's clear. When the Bavli says ha'mefate l'chshayotzi kishelo yichnos, that's what it means.
Right.
Pashas is, I mean, you could even say that what I'm saying in the Bavli, but I don't think so.
I thought that's what you were trying to say.
No, I think the Bavli is bothered precisely by the question of what kind of Ishus is here, and the Bavli says there is no Ishus, Kishalo Yichnas. I'm suggesting Pshat in the Tanoim.
Okay.
I haven't, yeah, okay. There was Yitzi and then Akiva, and then let's go on after that. Okay, that was just an idea for you to, ruminate over. Yes?
What would Miyun mean from the side of Mefateh? How would he be?
He would say, I don't want to marry you, goodbye.
So in that case, does Miyun work on a katana like that also? If he says, I don't want to be married to you anymore, she doesn't
I don't think so, but he can write a get there.
So he can write a get. So over here, there's like a two-sided Miyun.
Yeah. And again, Pshuta Shemekwa might have been that he has no right to do Miyun. Not Pshuta Shemekwa. Well, Pshuta Shemekwa and their Tanaim hold that way. That's Beferish. Akiva?
From a bit earlier, when we said that he is not allowed to divorce her, but then we follow it up with if he does divorce her, you make her remarry her, or with the Kohen, you give him 40 lashes, but she's divorced. Why didn't we just say any get he writes is null and void?
That's a totally different sugya. It's a sugya. I mean, that's a sugya. The Gemara actually talks about it in this case. It's a sugya in Temura of beginning of Temura in the middle of all places that almost none of us. It's fair to say that unless you did Daf Yomi, you probably never opened Maseches Temura except for to look up a source quoted elsewhere. And the Gemara there has a very famous shas sugya, what's known as Komilso de Amar Rachmana Lo Saved I Avid Mahani or I Avid Lo Mahani. If the Torah says that you're not allowed to do something, and you go ahead and you perform the action, assuming it's not a physical action, right? The Torah says you're not allowed to kill someone. If you kill someone, they're dead. I mean, that's a fact. But if the Torah says you can't be Makadesh or Megaresh under these circumstances, since Kiddushin and Gerushin is fundamentally a halachic act, do we say it's a valid Kiddushin or valid Gerushin? The same issue, by the way, comes up, and it's relevant to the early stage of the Heter Mechira. When we say Ein Shliach LeDvar Avera, we normally, everybody agrees it means that if you ask a person to do an Avera on your behalf, that they get the punishment, not you. But if it's something that involves a Chalos, do we say that it's that not only Ein Shliach LeDvar Avera, that you don't get the punishment, the Shaliach gets the punishment, but on top of that, it's not Chal at all. The case came up in a very famous 18th century case, and Noda Behuda was involved in a major controversy with his colleagues about a woman whose husband divorced her against her will. But the way he divorced her was he gave his friends the get, and they found her in the street and they forced her to take the get. So he violated the Chaim Ramein Gershom, but he did it Ayide Shaliach. So the Noda Behuda, I think, tied it to Deir Sintosis and Bamatzia Daf Yiramid Beis that the get is not Chal. If he had given it to her himself in violation of the Chaim Ramein Gershom, he did a big Avera, but the get is Chal, because the Chaim Ramein Gershom didn't say that the get is no good. But once you gave it to a Shaliach to do, so Ein Shlich Adar Avera, and if you pick up a get that I wrote for my wife and you give it to her, it's not a valid get. You need the husband to appoint you as a Shaliach, and you're in his stead. So that's sort of the same type of a question. We call Milsa to Amar Rahman and Lo Save, I Avin Mahani, I Lovin Mahani. Yeah, Daniel?
But don't you have to give set instructions to the Shaliach? Like to find you a wife in one area, and then he goes to another.
You just say, give her a get anywhere. I mean, that's a detail. That's not a problem. That wasn't the issue.
But if he doesn't give him the set instructions, he doesn't give the Shliach the set instructions to forcefully forcefully give the get over, and then he forcefully does it, then isn't he sort of going against the will of the
person? He says to him, give her the get however you need to give her the get. Let's say that was the case. Okay. That's not the issue. Okay. Can we wait on it? Is it? Okay. Fine. All right, Nesina. All right, so let me give you the conclusion before the beginning, just so you have an idea where this is going. Okay, there are, as far as I can tell, four shitos in Rishonim as to what the nature of the Isser of Nesina is. Who are the Nesinim, firstly, at least as far as Chazal understand? Who are these people, Yitzi? They are the Givonim. If you learn Sefer Yehoshua and you study Perek Ches, I believe, there was a group of people who were Chivi. They were Chivites. They were one of the seven nations. And what? Vayomer Yisrael HaChivi. Ulai something. Bikirbi Atar Yoshev. Okay, fine. So the distinctions might be blurred. I mean, say for Yeshua, the nation that they are associated with, I think, is the one. Maybe multiple ones I mentioned is the Chivi. Whatever. They were Shiva Amun. Okay, they were amongst the nations that the Jews were supposed to wipe out of Eretz Canaan when they entered. And they pulled a fast one, and they were, you know, quite the thespians, and they put the right clothing, and they put on a show, and the Jews, you know, what do we say? They bit, you know, what's the expression? What's that? Well, I say the pasuk actually says "Vayichu ha'anashim mitzedam ve'espi Hashem lo sha'alu," which is probably a double entendre. They brought what? They took the bait. Yeah, that's almost what the pasuk says there. They took the bait, and then they discovered that a few days later, 3 days later, that these were the wrong people. So it's a fascinating topic why they didn't turn around and kill them right then. But it's a machlokas in the Gemara. Pshuta shemikra, as it would have been a chil Hashem by all. Either they had a very different conception of Shua than we do. I mean, it is sort of Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Or the way, I'll peep shot, according to the way Chazal think, it was a Chil Hashem issue because the Shua wasn't binding because it was a Shua B'taos. It was a Shua B'taos. They deceived them completely. Okay, so then instead, Yoshua tells them, Arimatem, and that forever they would be Chotve Eitzem B'Shoa V'Mayim from Mizbach Hashem. You know, that would be their punishment. So they basically some kind of forced service. Okay, now, Chazal assume that these Nesinim converted. They did engage in some conversion. I don't want to... We're going to have to touch upon certain aspects of Geirus and doing this and the Kutim, but I don't want to dwell on it at great length. So that's who the Nesinim were. The question is, when the Mishnah speaks about an Isser of... Our Mishnah says... what is Nasan firstly usually equated with or coupled with? Mamzer. The Mishnah in Makos that I asked you to look at very briefly says Ve'elu hein halokin, and then Habal Nesina Bala Mamzeris, and the same thing would be true with the Mamzer Nasan Habal Bas Yisrael. And when you learn the Mishnah, which I didn't give you, in the beginning of the fourth parak of Kiddushin, which is Hasara Yuchsin Alu Mibavel and Ezra, so you have Kohane, Levie, Yisraeli, you have Geire Charure, and Mamzere Unesine. There are three more. I'm going to leave them aside for the moment. So there, what the Mishnah says is that a Mamzer and a Nosin are not allowed to marry into the Kahal. In other words, a Yisrael or Yisraelis or Levi or Levia or Kohenes can marry Eben Meshuchwar, can marry or Shifcha Meshuchwaras. They can marry a Ger or Gioris, but they cannot marry a Nosin or a Mamzer. So the question is, what exactly is the nature of the Sisser? And so there really are four shitos. What is the makor for the isser, firstly? That's pretty clear. Whatever the nature of the isser is, what would the makor be in the Torah? Losis chatein bam, which we read a few weeks ago. We read the first pasuk in Perek Zayin is that you're coming to Eretz Yisrael and you're going to have a seven nations. I think that's the only place all seven are listed together in Chumash. And then the Torah says, Velosis chatein bam, bitacha. You know that?
What?
The only place all seven nations are listed in one spot in Chumash. No, not the seven nations. Not the seven nations. There are other. There's a different one, and then there's Keni, Knesi, Kadmoni, and Rephaim. There are ten there, but not the seven of the Canaanites. You know, there's listed. Go look. It's not my Bikias. I forget who points that out. But anyway, so the next pasuk says Velosis chatein bam bitchalos itein livno uvitolos ikach livnecha ki asiris bimchabe acharai v'avdu el him acherim v'chara af Hashem b'chem v'shpidachem aher. And then we're told instead to wipe out their, get rid of them, get rid of their mizbechos, and so on and so forth. Okay. So now, yes.
If there's a pasuk about them in the Torah, why did David write that to be Gazar about them?
Hold on. That's a question that the Rishonim deal with. However, the question is, what is the nature of the Isser of Losis Chatein Bam? That's the crucial question. And we are going to see that there are two shitos in the Gemara, Rava 1 and Rava 2, and maybe the Yushalmi might hold like Rava 1, some Rishonim suggest, whether the prohibition of Losis Chatein Bam is Begiyusan or Begeirusan. Is the prohibition Dafka when they're not Jewish? Or only when they're Jewish. Now, the assumption is, usually the assumption we work with is as follows. There is a popular expression which is probably offensive in multiple levels, which I'm not going to quote about practice. Some of you may know what the expression is. But I think it's not appropriate to quote because it's not an appropriate statement. But it does speak to a certain halachic truth that it would seem that there is no prohibition mid the oraisa of a Jewish man having intercourse with a non-Jewish woman, provided that it is not in the context of acting like you are married. In other words, if it's not derech chasnus, so then there is no issur d'oraisa. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah speaks about multiple issurim, the Rabbanan, that they would go there against this practice. There is one context in which it would appear to be an issur d'oraisa, even though it's not derech chasnus. The pashtus is that if it's done with a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman in a public fashion, because in that case there is a din of kanoim pogimbo. And if the kanoim pogimbo, then presumably there must be some type of issur d'oraisa involved. But done not before hesya, not the derech chasnus, appears to be only osur midrabbanan. To marry a non-Jew, derech chasnus, meaning to act as if you're married, there's no marriage halachically because there's no tefisas kiddushin, would appear to be an issur d'oraisa. Now, if you assume losis chatein bam is in fact talking about as Rava's havamina bigiyusan, so then that's the issur. If not, you have to find a makor for the issur. The question is, though, is there an issur once they have converted? Now, part of this question, yes.
Are we including more than Shemam?
So here's a crucial point. If you're going to say that the Isser is Bigiyusan, when they haven't converted, then it's conceivable, maybe necessary, but not clear. You look at the Gemara on Daf Samachesam and Beis and Kiddushin near the end of the third parak. It's conceivable that it applies to all non-Jews. It should. Or maybe this pasuk doesn't. Presumably, Isser applies to all non-Jews. Whereas, if you assume that Lo Sischatein Bam is Dafka after they convert, it can only be a prohibition on the seven nations, because we don't assume that, we assume that when Gerim convert, unless they're Ammoni, Moavi, Mitzray, Adomi, or Shiva Amamim, we assume that they're in fact allowed to marry into the call. They just can't make Yoris, can't marry a Kohen. So presumably, it's certainly the way Chazal read, you know, from a biblical perspective, if you take out the Ammonim, Moavim, Mitzrim, Adomim, and the seven nations, I'm not sure who's left with whom the Jews encountered. There probably were. Rephaim, maybe. Okay, if the Rephaim weren't Canaanites, although some of them we know were, you know, Canaanites. You know, the Akkad tale, for certainly Daniel was a Canaanite. But, well, who else?
Amalek isn't listed.
There are, well, excuse me, that was Amoratus.
Yeah.
Which nation does Amalek belong to?
Yes, I don't.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So, however, so assuming that Lo Sischatein Bam, if it's Bigiyusan, then there is no prohibition of a Nosin min haTorah. Right? There's no prohibition of marrying one of the Shiva Amim who converts. If you assume that the Isser of Nosin is min haTorah, so then there are three Shitas and Rishonim. Rabbeinu Tam Shita, as you will see in Tosos here, is that Nosin is an Issa Daraisa, and it's like Mamzer. And Mamzer is Leolam. Mamzerus is Leolam, all generations, as long as you can trace back to one. And therefore, Nosin is the same din. Other Rishonim rejected that for good reason. And one of the crucial points here, I'm spilling the beans on what the Shitos are, because I care what the Shitos are, and you should know that. If there's one thing you remember, you should remember that. But one of the most important things in what we're doing is going to see how the Rishonim grapple with the Gemaras, to understand what were the problems in reading. The difficult sugya is the long one in Yevamos. That's the difficult sugya, and you can skip the Agada. There are a few crucial lines in the flow of the sugya, and in the context, is what all of that is what's driving the Rishonim. And so that's what you really want to pull out. First, you want to know what the Shitas are, but then you want to understand how are they grappling with the text, what are the problems that are driving them. So some Rishonim say, unlike Rabbeinu Tam, that there is an Isser of Nosin Mid'oraisa, but it's only the first generation. First generation converts. Subsequent to that, there is no Issa D'oraisa. If a Nosin now marries a Giyores, plain vanilla Giyores, the children are not Nesinim, not Min haTorah. It might be an Issa Midrabbanan, an Xer Midrabbanan, but unlike Mamzerus. Now, there is a lot of elegance in that solution, but it creates its own problems. The elegance in the solution is you get a Nosin D'oraisa and you deal with the Pasuk. The problem, of course, is that the Isser Midaraisa would be totally irrelevant anymore after a generation or two, because there would be no first-generation Canaanites anymore. And you'll see why that's relevant, and we'll see why that issue may be relevant. There is a fourth most interesting. So you have the Rabbanan, the Raisa forever, like Mamzerus, the Raisa only first generation. And by the way, what's the model for the Raisa first generation? You see? Edomi and Mitzri, which are two generations, but the same idea that the first generation or two is us. The fourth Shita appears to be the Shita of Provence. Now, as an aside, I don't know anywhere near what I should know about Provence or Chachmei Provence. Provence is this region in southern France. However, the Ravid, there's a wonderful article, I mentioned it last year, by Dr. Grach, Dr. Soloveitchik, about the Ravid's contribution. And most of you know the Ravid as the Baal HaSagos. He's Masig on the Rith, he's Masig on the Rambam. The Ravid, however, really led an intellectual revolution in Provence of a totally different way of reading the Gemara and detached from the Gaonic traditions of reading the Gemara. I don't have the Bekias Dr. Soloveitchik as a Gaon. It's a wonderful article. What's the name of the article? I don't remember. But look for Soloveitchik, and if you know what Rambi is, you know, the thing for Jewish studies, if not, Google Rambi, and look up Soloveitchik and Ravid, and I'm sure you'll find the essay. I just don't remember what it was. But he talks about that. So very often you get very interesting shitas from Chachmei Provence. Who were amongst the figures you should definitely know who were from Provence? There were two Ravids from Provence. One of them was the Ravid Baal HaSagos. That's Ravid number three. Ravid number two was his father-in-law, I believe, the Rav Av Beis Din, who was the author of the Sefer HaEshkol. He's another one of the Chachmei Provence. And then the third one, who's a little bit later, you should know. No, Rashba is Spain, is Barcelona. The Meiri is from Provence. No, the other Rashba, the Balatosos, is Ashkenaz, is Rav Shimshon ben Avram. who's a Talmud of the Ri, I think. What? Balamor is also, shouldn't forget the Balamor was the Ravid's ex Chavrusa. Yeah, okay. What's that?
Anyone with a Sutter Moon name, because the two main cities that they were from were Lindell and I forget the other one. So everyone named themselves after the Sun or the Moon or something like Shining.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Oh, I never realized that. Oh, they're very interesting. Okay.
It's not because his father was named Meir.
Meiri, I'd assume that, and the Baal HaMor, what about the Ravid? He was just the Ravid, okay. All right, so anyway, so the Ramban here, what? Zerachi HaLevi, there you go. That's probably why he chose Baal HaMor, maybe his name is Zerachi for that reason, I don't know. Anyway, so the Baal HaMor, so that here, the Ramban quotes the Ravid, and then I gave you the Meiri, which is really the same Shita, has a radically different Shita. The Briskers probably love this more than anything else. I'm sure that that Ramim in places like Gush would just fail over this particular Shita because it occupies the liminal space. It creates a new category of quasi-gerus. Someone who's a ger, who's not a goy anymore, min HaTorah, but he's not a ger gomer enough to marry into the kahal. He's a psul kahal. If he converts a second time and as a kabbal mitzvah b'shlemus, then he becomes a regular ger, and in our Torah there's no taint, he's like a regular ger. I know, that's really, really interesting. Those are the four... What? No, I won't actually. I shouldn't have told you that shita now, but I couldn't. I couldn't restrain myself. So you will get to it, but you should know that the first three shitas are very standard kinds of shitas. Daraisa, Darabanan, Darishon, but not after that. But the Ravid, the Shita of Chachmev, I'm assuming it's the Shita Provence, because the Ravid and the Meiri, you know, both have the Shita, and the Meiri seems to, I think, I didn't look at the Meiri Yavamos, I gave the Meiri here in Ksubos, but the Meiri says, I quote all the other Shitas in Yavamos, the fact, and I think that he quotes it here means is what the Meiri holds of. So I assume that was the Shita Provence. So when you are reading the Gemara in Yavamos, and we're going to start, right, we'll get to it today, but when you're reading the second one, certainly, you want to think about what is motivating the Rishonim to do what they are doing. Now, for those of you who are moving along a little faster, I asked you to look on asked you to look at Tosus and Eilun Aris, the first Tosus, I told you to look in Tosus and Yavamos. Tosus, here in our Tosus, there's certain things that are not clear about the nature of Avdus and its status min HaTorah. But I want you to look at, those of you who have the time, only if you've gotten through everything else, I want you to look at the Tosos and Yavamos, because Tosos and Yavamos has two deos on the nature of Avdus and the prohibition of marrying the kol, the nature of what makes an Eved or how someone becomes an Eved. It's not explicit, but it's assumed, and I want you to spend a lot of time carefully reading the flow of that Tosos and how Tosos constructs the Shaklan Taya of the Sugya to figure out what is a major, and I think that we've shown him reject it, but the first day in Tosos there has an unbelievable yesod in what, how one might become an Eved in terms of infecting one's status in terms of Yuchsin. So I want you, if you've finished everything, you feel you have everything, then I want you to go back and take a look at that. But now we're going to start sort of going through the regular stuff. So let's take a look first. The Mishnah we've read already. So I asked you to look at Yerushalmi. There is a better Yerushalmi to look at. Now, one of the problems in reading Yerushalmi, of course, is that the commentaries aren't very good, but they're later, they have certain tendencies about reading the Bavli into the Yerushalmi. And the problem is we don't have too many Perushim from the Rishonim on the Yerushalmi. In fact, there's no Rishon that we know of who really wrote a systematic commentary on the Yerushalmi.
Ksuvos, the Rambam has like a
helpless. There is something, I have it for Shabbos. You know, but I don't know, actually, I don't know if it's really a Perush of the Rambam and the Yerushalmi versus a Likut of the Rambam stuff. Don't know what it is. But what, even if I'm correct about that, I might be wrong, what we do often have is comments of the Rishonim, and sometimes the Rishonim actually embed in their commentaries Perush on the Yerushalmi. So if you want to see the fuller version of the Yerushalmi, look in the Ramban. The Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi, which seems to be against, the Rabbeinu Tam acknowledges that the Yerushalmi seems to be against the Shita, and the Rabbeinu Tam suggests that maybe the Yerushalmi holds like the first day in Rava, in the first passage in Yavamos, but we don't hold that way. That's not the Maskan of the Bavli. The Ramban, however, does give a full commentary, and he agrees, he thinks it's against Rabbeinu Tam. The Ramban, in his Perush, gives a commentary on this Yerushalmi in a slightly expanded version. Okay, so for the moment, actually, let's hold off on reading the Yerushalmi. Let's wait until we get to how the Rishonim deal with it. Let's start with the Gemara in Yavamos of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. So please may I have a volunteer reader here? Or maybe I will just volunteer someone. Sam, would you like to read?
Okay, it's good for today.
Yeah. Yeah, the voice is a no faking voice issues, but yes, I'm sympathetic to that. Okay. would like to read for me? Feinstein. Feinstein, I hear you. The spirit of volunteerism is overwhelming me. Go for it. Okay.
The Mishnah?
Yeah.
The two adacha, the furus shikha, mitar mikiras and mishukaras. The enam of Syrian alami lavoba kahosh, and amar loyavo patsu adacha, the furus shikha, the kahosh.
All right, so patsu adacha is some, a man whose testicles were damaged. The Gemara talks about, I don't know if it's here or it's earlier in the Masechta, that talks about what is the nature of the damage, the extent of the damage in order to passel him. And krushafcha means that he was literally partially dismembered. Now, the assumption of the Mishnah, the assumption of the Torah seems to be that these are people, well, the way Chazal understand, one of you asked me this question. It seems to be, Psuadaka doesn't bother me. Kroshavcha, I'm not quite sure how they imagine it. They are capable of having Tashmish. If they were not capable of having Tashmish, the issue would be sort of irrelevant. For example, a man who becomes a Psuadaka in the Kroshavcha in the middle of marriage, he's no longer allowed to be married to his wife. But if I'm not mistaken, he can be married to her, but he can't be Miachim with her and can't have Bia. Now, if a Kroshavcha were incapable of having Bia, what would the problem be? Right. What would also, in addition, Kohanim right now, and how many Kohanim we have in the shir? Anybody besides Nadel? Oh, wait, who's back there? Oh, Spence, I didn't realize you were a Kohen. Okay, so now I know you're a Kohen. So two Kohanim. So a Kohen is not allowed to marry a Grusha. Okay? What if a Kohen is Mekadesh a Grusha? What's the din? Well, presumably it's a good idea, divorce, does he get Malchus for marrying her? The answer is no. The Isser, at least the way Rava understands in the fourth Kiddushin, is only having Bia, and there's really Nisuin. There's no, there doesn't seem to be an Isser per se in the Erusin itself. So what would, if a Psuadaka or a Koshavka were literally incapable of having Tashmish, what would the prohibition be? So we're going to assume for the moment they are capable of having what?
Then there would be a prohibition in the Kiddushin.
Well, you'd have to say that, but I don't think that's the way we usually think. That's why I mentioned the case of the man who becomes a psuadak v'shach. We don't say he has to divorce her. If they're willing to live separately, then that itself is not a problem. So that's why I'm going to assume for the moment, and there are other Gemaras and Mishnayos that also suggest they're capable of having bia. Because that Mishnah that I just quoted says that if he dies, or if he's a Kohen, and he becomes a psuadak and a koshavcha, so he's not allowed to live with her. Why? Because she's the Yisraelis Kshera, and it doesn't matter what he is, he's a Psuadak and a Kufshavcha. She is allowed to eat Truma. She can continue to eat Truma, but the Mishnah says, Im Mishe Nases Psuadaka Ukushach, Im, I don't know what the language is, Yida'a. If he has Bia with her after that, then he passels her for Truma. Now she's Psuadak because of his Bia. So the assumption is that at least one of those cases, maybe both, he's capable of having Bia. Well, however that is, I don't want to get into the anatomy and the biology. Again, Tzudaka is not so much a problem. Koshavcha is a little hard to understand. Answer, Shimon?
Truma eats Kohen?
Mm-hmm. Is his wife eats Truma?
Can he slay Truma?
What?
Can he slay Truma?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason. She's totally disqualifies an Arel, not a Psudak and a Koshavcha. That's part of the question the Gemara struggled with. Is he still Bekdushaso for the purposes of Yuchsin? Right? Can he marry now was it Gioris or something like that? Gioris or Mishacharis. Daniel?
Question, a lovely question. If a man, after he has kids and so on, like gets his lines tied, so to speak, is he then not married to the...
No, he's married. The Shaila is whether it renders him Psuadaka.
Yeah.
I don't remember how the Shaila is dealt with. I don't know. It's certainly prohibited to do, and I don't remember what the din is lagabi psuadaka. Interesting question. Okay. So anyway, so now the Gemara says, go ahead. Ba'ominei. We're not actually interested in the din of psuadaka. It's just, I mean, we are. We want to know everything, but it's because of Rava's dialogue back and forth with himself is why this sugi is relevant. Go ahead. Psuadaka
Kohen.
So what's the Shaila? The way the Gemara explains. Just note, by the way, although it has no relevance here, they asked the question from Rav Sheshes, the people in the Beis Medrash. They ask Psuadaka Kohen, Mal Begiras and Meshacheres. What follows next is the Gemara's explanation of the question. It is not necessarily what they said. And the reason that matters is, A, it means that in theory, this is what academic Talmudists would observe to you. And number one, in theory, it could be that the people who asked the Shaila and or of Shasis, or both thought that a different Chakira, they weren't thinking of this, number one. Number two, sometimes in the continuation of the Gemara, the tutzdadim and the shayla make no sense until you get to the maskana. And the reason that sometimes happens, I don't think that happens here, is because originally it wasn't in there. They asked the question, and the in the base medrash they were going back and forth as to what was the nekuda of the shayla. What exactly was the hakira? And when you see the hakira filled in, what the tutzdadim are, that's on the basis of the maskana of the gemara. It's not the way they were thinking as they were going through the process. There's a very good example where you see the dissonance somewhere later in Maseches Ksuvos. I think it's like somewhere between the 10th and 12th parak. I don't remember exactly where, but if I go digging, I'll find it. It's maybe in the 9th parak, where you have one of these examples where the Gemara asks the Shaila, and the Gemara says, well, it depends. What we're really asking is A or B. And then the next statement in the Gemara makes no sense. It's like they didn't see the previous line. That's because that line about whether it's A or B was put in after the Maskana of the Gemara was reached. So realize that, and therefore you see that when they originally asked the question of the base medrash, they didn't spell out that Tadeh HaKira, otherwise the Gemara would never have gone down on, you know, a wild goose chase until they got to the correct maskana. So anyway, so now it's Rav. So now they say it's totally upon either B'kdushei Sekai V'Aser or Dilma La B'kdushei Sekai V'Shari. Right? In other words, as a Kohen becomes a Tzudak and a Koshelcha, and some of you wonder, just ask me, can he Truma? I think the answer is yes. But the Gemara is saying, for these purposes, is he still Omei B'kdushas Kahuna? Or do we say he's no longer has Kedushas Kahuna? If he does, then he can't marry a Gioris and a Meshachwaris. If he doesn't, then he can. Amar Le'Rav Sheshes.
Amar Le'Rav Sheshes. Tamisua.
Okay, so now a Yisrael is not allowed to marry a Nasina or Mamzeres. The fact that a Psuadaka Yisrael is allowed to marry a Nasina would suggest that his Kedushas Yuchsin has been lowered by his injury, by the Torah prohibiting Lavo Bakahol, and therefore, by extension, the Kohen should be allowed to marry, a Kohen Psuadaka should be allowed to marry Gieris and a Meshachweris. Okay. Fine. Of course, Daniel, if you want to take the reducti ad absurdum, you could just imagine the Kohen who's so infatuated in love with this woman he's not allowed to marry, so his solution is, even though it's Isser, he'll fly an Isser once, he'll go make himself a Psuadaka, and after that, basically, say to basically, look, I'm Psuadaka now, I'm allowed to be married to her. Okay, fine. People have done a lot of, in the history of humanity, people have done a lot of crazy things for love. Okay, just... What's that? Yeah, I mean, I think the expression of my face said everything. Let's go. Okay, fine. Go ahead. Oh, so the Los Ischatein Bam. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now, when they quote the Los Ischatein Bam, is what? What is the prohibition of Los Ischatein Bam? Is it Begiyusan or Begerusan? When the... What? Begerusan. The assumption, the Sina is Jewish. The fact that you're quoting the Pasuk to say that the Kohen that he's Mutar and Har shows he's not B'kdushasei Kai, based on Los Chatein Bam, means Los Chatein Bam applies to an Asina, which means that Los Chatein Bam is Begerusan. Fine. Now, Amarava.
Amarava. Atu
Yeah, some of you got stuck on the phrase that you put Kedusha V'Lav Kedusha in quotes. Atu. Hasam Mishum Kedusha V'Lav Kedusha. Who? In other words, is the issue over Kedusha or not? Okay. No, Dilma. The reason why the Torah prohibits marrying one of the an Oved Kochavim is because you'll have a child, they'll go worship Oved Zera, which is a very, very strange thing to say. You have a child who isn't Jewish. But okay. Fine.
Vahani Mili be Yosan Oved Kochavim.
So, but that pasuk only applies when they're goyim.
Ki
megayri b'Yisrael sharu. Once they convert, they're like all other goyim; they can marry a Jew. They have to. V'rabbanon. The prohibition of Sina was exerim the rabbanon after they convert. V'chi gazer b'rabbanon. All right, so you skip down just to the Ella on the next line because we don't need to get into this question. Ki gazer rabbanon. So the bottom line is, Rava says, no, it's only Xavier the Rabbanon, that's all. So therefore, you can't bring me a rai. The fact that he's Mutter ben Kohen, he's Mutter ben Asim, doesn't mean that he's Mutter ben Gioras and Meshachweres. Because the Isser, what, by the way, is the prohibition of a Kohen marrying Gioras and Meshachweres? What's the Isser? Does it say anywhere in the Torah? What does it say about a Kohen? Kohanim, come on, kill me. What does the Pasuk say? You're a Kohen, you got to know. Come on, you know Tanakh also. Come on, Dovi. Isha zona v'chalala lo yikachu v'isha girusha me'isha lo yikachu. Ki kadoshu leilo kav. Right? His kedusha can't marry this woman. Who? Zona, chalala, and grusha. And a kohen gadol also has an almana, and then some iser asay of a non-besula. Right? So what is a grusha? That's easy. Mitarachta. She's divorced. What is a halala? More complicated. Okay, but we know a halala might be a Kohen married, a grusha had a child, was a halala or halala. What is a zona? So then, so that's very easy. That's very hard to quantify. So there is a shita, Rabbi Lazar in Yevamos, in the early Samach, who says that panui habala panuya asa zona. Thank God we don't pasuk like Rav Shita, because if we did, Kohanim would have a much harder time. However, so the real answer to the real solution is that a woman who has slept with many men, all of whom she would be permitted ben HaTorah to marry, and she's a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Levi or a Bas Kohen, she is Ksheri Lakuna. Zona means, the Gemara says, Ein Zona Ela Giyores Mishuchreres Vishenivala Be'ilasnos. The Gioras and Meshuchreres seems to be a Gzeiras HaKosuv. It actually seems to be based on a Pasuk in Yechezkel, and the Gemara has this in the fourth Perek of Kiddushin. There are four Shitos about Kohen marrying a Gioras. You look at me and say, this is crazy. Four Shitos about a Kohen marrying Gioras? Yes, no, maybe. What's the fourth? No, it means the following. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that if you catch this Bekiyas, great. If not, it doesn't matter. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that if a girl converts before the age of 3 and a day, Kohen's allowed to marry her. Giyorah Shesgayer Pusim Mashum Mashum Mimechot. Most of the Tanaim disagree. We do not pass that way at all. The next Mekel Shita says that if a Ger marries a Giyores and they have a child, but the child's born and conceived after they converted, so it's either Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Lezem Yaakov, our opinions 2 and 3, so she's Muteres Bekahal, provided that she was born Jewish, okay, into two Jewish parents, even though they're Gerim. That sheet that we paskin like after the fact. Third sheet that we paskin like Lechatchila is either the other one, Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Lezem Yaakov, that as long as one parent was Jewish, born Jewish, and the other parent is a Ger Gioras, then the daughter can marry Kohen. But if both are not, then even though she was Horas of Leidas HaBikdusha, she's not allowed to marry Kohen. So that L'chatchil is what we follow. And the fourth Shita, the most Machmir Shita, which is Rabbi Yehuda, and we don't follow it, is that Bas Ger Zachar ki Bas Chalal Zachar. And the way Chalalus works, if a Kohen's a Chalal, he now marries a Bas Yisrael, the children of that of a male Chalal are a Chalal or Chalala. The child of a Chalala who marries Yisrael are not. That's how you metahir Chalalim. The expression is that bnei Yisrael are mikveh tara lechalalos. Forget that. Anyway, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. That's the other extreme. So those are the shitos. But what is the what iser in the Torah is a giores for a kohen tied to? And the same thing is true of a shuchares. It's an iser zona. It appears to have to do with the notion that the person wasn't born with full kedushas Yisrael. That seems to be the iser. It is not that we assume. There are hints to this. Rashi has a few comments in Shas where he says this. One of these sugyos in Yevamos, he says it, but it doesn't appear to be correct that v'choshesh de v'nevala. For Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who says that if she converted before the age of 3 years and a day, that might be the case. But the other Tanaim clearly don't hold that way. Even if she's converted before the age of 3 and a day, where we know she's a besula, doesn't matter. It seems to have to do with her formation with Kedushas Yisrael. That seems to be the issue. So she's lumped under the rubric of Zona for some reason, but it's not because she actually was Mizana. So Ein Zona Ela Giores Meshechweres V'shenivala Be'ilasnos. So the Isser of Gioras and Meshechweres, and it's clear from this Gemara, is an Isser Doraisa. However, the Isser Nesina, Rabbah says, that's only Nesid Rabbanim, because Los Eschaten Bam is only Begiyusan. So the fact that a Kohen is a Kohen Mitzvadaka is allowed to marry a Nesina, well, that's probably because Minat Torah, the Nesina, is like a Ger, and or Gioras. I take that back. It is a Minat Torah, their status should be mutter, future generations, wouldn't even be ger giores. The shaila is, how come the nusin is allowed to marry? If Rava's right, how come the nusin is allowed to marry a tzedakah? I'll flip it on its head. Did anybody realize that question? What's the question? If the Isser Nesina The Gemara, just think about the flow of the Gemara. The Gemara wants to know, can a Kohen Tzedakah marry a Giyoris or a Mishachweris? So the Gemara says that depends upon whether or not he has Kedusha or not. Now the Gemara tried to bring a raya that the Kohen doesn't have Kedusha from a Braisa that said that a Kohen Tzedakah can marry an Asina. Yisrael can marry an Asina. Oh, I take that back. Never mind. So that's why it's not a question. As a Kohen, Vadai couldn't marry, even a Tzedakah would not be allowed to marry a Nusin because he would be... No, but why would he snow? He should also be allowed to marry a Nusin.
Well, I thought you were
going to
say his
Kedusha. No, he also, once you say that he's no longer Kedushase Kaime for Yuchsin purposes, he should also... Oh, but you're saying... That's weird. The whole thing is strange. The whole thing is strange because you want to say that it's like he drops down one Madrega magically. He's now like Yisrael, who can't marry...
No, the Chorah Kohen should also be allowed to marry Asina if he's...
Tzedakah. But the Gemara asked the Shaila... No, agree. But so what's the shot? So if Rava, wait, if Rava is one second. Now here's the point: for Rava to be correct, because if a Yisrael can marry an Asina, and Asina is really psul daraisa, so if a Kohen it should all, and therefore Kohen p'tzudak should be it also. But once you turn around and you say no, Nosin is only an Issid Rabbanon. Nosin is only an Issid Rabbanon. So, and what is the status of a Nosin? Well, I think you'd have to say a Nusin. Oh, okay. A Nusin is a Ger Midoraisa. That's what a Nusin status is. So that's why a Yisrael Petsuadaka is allowed to marry a Nesina.
Why would there even be a question? On a Doraisa level, Yisrael would automatically be allowed to marry a Nesina.
Yes, but a Petsuadaka, because a Petsuadaka wouldn't be allowed to. If a Nusin it were to be considered like a Yisrael Gamor. Not like a Ger, Tzedakah wouldn't be able to... The Nesina would not be allowed to marry him. The prohibition's coming from the opposite direction. So let's just say as follows. Of course, a Kohen, in the Shaila of the Gemara, if a Kohen Tzedakah is not allowed to marry a Gioris or Mishacharis, he can't marry a Nesina either, because she is... Her best possible status is Gioris. Right? But the Gemara didn't know that at first. They thought that there was an Issa Doraisa of Nesina, and if a Yisrael is allowed to marry a Nesina, then a Yisrael Tzedakah can marry a Nesina because he's a Tzedakah, then a Kohen Tzedakah could marry a Gioris Mishacharis and a Nesina. Okay? But Rabbi turns around and says, no, there's no raya from the fact that a Tzedakah Yisrael can marry a Nesina because a Nesina is only an Issa Rabbanon. So therefore, it could be that a Yisrael Tzedakah can marry a Nesina because they weren't gozer in that particular case, but a Kohen could not marry a Gioris or Mishacharis or a Nesina, who's like a Gioris, because he's still Bekudusha Sei Kaime.
Shouldn't that also apply to
Yisrael? No, here's the catch. The reason why a Kohen can't marry an Asina is not because of Los Eschatemam, but because of Gioris. And that there's no prohibition to the Yisrael Petzudaka. Okay. Yisrael and Yisrael Petzudaka could both marry Gioris. Danny, Eshlein? Well, now we have four Daniels. Okay, yeah.
First of all, how exactly are we defining Nidal to be less than this?
I didn't define that part. It wasn't relevant here. Anyone, let's say, who she would not be... For the moment, let's say anyone she could not marry. So if a Bas Yisrael slept with a Kohen, a Levi, a Yisrael, a Ger, or Mishuchrar, so she is still Ksheira L'Kahuna. If she slept with a Goy, where Kiddushin are in Tofsin, even if she slept with an Erva for sure, she's a Zona, an Erva with Kiddushin are in Tofsin. And then there's a whole debate if she slept with, let's say, a Mitzri, Adomi Dorishon, Amoni Moavi. So there are all sorts of discussions in the Gemara. But the simplest, we usually assume that if she's nivellus to anyone where there's a Pekam in the Kiddushin, would be a Pekam in the Kiddushin, she's Asur Mishum Zon or something else. There's a whole machlokas, the Ram and the Ravid, over those other things. But certainly if she had Bia with a Goy in Evan, or anyone Kiddushin or in Tos in Bechlal, she's a Zona. And then some would say even the other Isurim. If, by the way, if she had Bia with a Chalal, who she's allowed to marry, she's a Chalala anyway. Not because of Aveira, just because that's what happens when a Chalal is Baal Anisha. Okay? So is that sufficient for now?
Yes.
Okay.
Secondly, why can't we say that in the second stage of the Gemara, after when Rome says the Yisrael is only Yerubana, the Yisrael is only Yerubana, why can't we say that a Kohen is still, a Kohen to a Daka can still
Can't, because now Gioris Mishachoras is the Raisa. Nisina is an Issa, at most, the Rabbanon of Nisinus, but is an Issa the Raisa of Gerus, of Gioris.
Okay.
Yitzi?
Is Rava saying that, you know, your assumption that there's like a Kedusha drop, that whole discussion is wrong, and we're moving away from it, or is he saying that...
He says you have no Raya. So that's all he says for the moment.
So it could just be there's like an Issa, and we're not really discussing it. As like a status.
Well, Rava is a dechia. Rava doesn't say. Rava just says from the fact that Yisrael Sudaka is allowed to marry Nesina doesn't prove to you that Pitzius Dakos, or whatever you would call it, and Krisus Shafka, however you want to term it, doesn't validate your psul. It doesn't change your yuchsin kedusha. That's all he's saying. It could be it does, but there's no raya from this brisa. Alex.
If Rava's correct.
Though the pasuk's about Gius, but once they convert, it's just a Din Drabanan.
Okay, but then what does the Mishnah add by adding Yisrael to
Adaka? What does the Mishnah add by?
Adding that he's a Suadaka to Yisrael. Meaning, a Stam Yisrael should be Mutar
Kedusha. No, that's an Issa Drabanan on. And the Rabbanan didn't want to be Gozer on a Suadaka and a Krofshacha because their marriage options are much more limited. That's why. So that's not a problem. Right. Otherwise, there would be no din in the scene. In other words, we all agree there's an issur rabbanon on the scene.
Right, okay.
That's sort of a given. Okay, so let's read a little bit farther. Hadar Amar Rava. Mati?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. It's been a while.
Fifth, yes, it happens. It's been known to happen here.
Yeah, Hadar Amar Rava. La Milsehi. It's nothing.
La Milsehi means what I said is wrong. Means literally lo davarhu. It's nonsense. Okay? Biyosan.
Biyosan of Dikluchavim. Leislu chasan. Nisgaru islu chasan.
So Rava says, you know what? I was wrong. I shouldn't have dismissed the Raya because the fact is, the pasuk of the reason why I said initially that lo sischatein bam is irrelevant here and the issue is only the Rabbanon is because. The reason why I say this Rabbanon is because I thought Los Eschatein Bam is Begiyusan, and therefore you can't bring a Raya. From the fact that Yisrael Psuadaka is a Mutab Ben Asina, you can't bring any Raya to Kohim Psuadaka Begiyuris Meshachweres. So I said I was wrong, because the Pasuk can't be talking about Begiyusan. There is no Hischatnus by definition. There's no Kedushan Zantosan. So why would the Torah say Los Eschatein Bam? So instead, the Gemara turns around, so Rava turns around and says, yeah. And he just says the Pasuk of the Yisr is by Nisgairu. So it sounds from Rava's Maskana that there's an Issa Daraisa when on the Sinim. That's what it sounds like. Los Eschatein Bam applies to Nesinim Begerusan. The rest, I'm not going to read the rest of the Gemara. It's very interesting. What is interesting to note is that Bas Paro, according to the Gemara here, the question is, how did Shlomo marry Bas Paro? Did he intermarry? Well, the problem is then that's an Issa of intermarriage. Did he convert her? Then it's a problem of a mitzris darishon. So instead, the Gemara's maskana is he didn't marry her, he didn't convert her, but he slept with her. Ah, but the pasuk says by yischatein Shlomo. The answer is because he loved her so much, it was mal lalava kasav if he married her. I know. Well, that's why he loved her so much.
She could have been, political marriages are great.
She could have been part of it. They haven't heard it.
Okay. I think that S means im.
No. Okay.
The S means im.
Oh, right. It shows like the intentions of like marriage.
Yeah, well, that's true, but that was clear. I don't think anybody, you know.
Listen.
Any girl in the shidduch system whose father is very wealthy and marries a certain guy, you know, who's in kolal, no, has to understand that reason number one why he's marrying her, if he's the top bachur in the yeshiva, let's say, the reason why he's married her and interested in her is because, you know, her father is wealthy. If he's the top bachur in the yeshiva. Right? What's that?
That's reason number one.
They may be, he may also fall in love with her eventually. You got to understand that. That's just the way it is. Right? And you could say, v'chahina v'chahina.
It's like saying reason number one is like, she's like Jewish.
That's why he's able to marry her.
No, it's
but why does he choose her all over all the other wonderful B'nos Yisrael? The answer is because her father is loaded. In this case, Shlomo's father-in-law was loaded with power, with money, whatever else. That's the way it is? Right? Not everybody has this idea that we, you know, I like the idea much better that you marry someone because you fall in love with them and they're special in their own right, not because of who their parents are. Sometimes Sometimes people marry people despite who their parents are. That's the way it is. Zach.
So then someone married her their chasnus?
So the Gemara says not so. The Gemara says, the Gemara, again, I don't want to delve into this. There were no pretenses of chasnus.
I'm saying not, he didn't marry her, but he slept with her.
Yes.
Chasnus.
Well, I don't know what nerech chasnus means, that you act as if you're married, right? You know, well, I don't think that today two people living together actually, I'm not sure that that constitutes chasnus.
Civilly, it can't be long enough.
What's that?
Civilly, it can't be long
enough. Not anymore.
Law.
I don't know if every state is there. New Jersey, for example, will recognize common law marriage only if, like, it took place 60 years ago already, something like that. If you read the code, that's what it says. So more, there are maybe states that still have common law marriage, but I think that the way it works today also is that, you know, when younger, you know, what if you got, you know, people post college living together? So I don't think that that would be called, in many cases, certainly usher, but that's not called derech chasnus. Right, we wouldn't say that if a two Jewish people lived together like that with no intention for marriage, we wouldn't say. I mean, even Rav Henkin, I think, said it by civil marriage, didn't say it by two people living together. Right, Yitzi? I don't think so, at least. Rav Henkin probably never envisioned the world of today. He could, you know, could never envision how much things might have, in a sense, degenerated. But he spoke about civil marriage. So he, you know, the machlokas of Henkin Ramosha. Ramosha said civil marriage doesn't require a get medina. If you can't get one, therefore you let the woman remarry. Rav Henkin and others disagreed with Ramosha. We follow Ramosha when we can't get a get. Yes, Yitzi.
In terms of Rava 2 kind of destroying intermarriage as easier than Torah, is it possible that it's...
So even according to Rava's 2, it's probably his derech chasnus is still lasa mina Torah. It's just that for Rava 2, there's a new Isser now of Isser. You have Amoni, Adomi, Amoni, Moavi, Mitzri, Adomi, and now you have Canaanite. First, however long that Isser is, you have a new Isser Kahal. That's all.
Is it possible that there's just at the very least a lack of ability to marry a non-Jew because Kiddushin can only be inherently between?
No, but that wouldn't make an Isser. The whole point is that generally speaking, even according to Abaye in 4th Perek Kiddushin, where there might be an Isser of a Kohen being a Kaddish, a Grusha, just a Kiddushin. So if Kiddushin didn't work, if they don't work, then there's no Isser by definition. There's no Isser in a person being a Kaddish's sister. The Kiddushin aren't Tosin, but there's no Aveira violated. So you probably, normally we would have said that if the Kiddushin aren't Tosin, you didn't do anything. But that wouldn't explain, you know, that in itself is not the makor for the isser of derech chasnus. Look at the sugya, if you're interested, at the end of the third paragraph of Kiddushin, Daf Samach Chasamid Beis, I think, you'll see the discussion there. Yes, Daniel.
So according to Rabbi Moskana, the isser of Lotit Chasimbab is both Begiyutam and Begiyutam, or only Begiyutam?
Simple reading of the Gemara. For Rava's answer, it doesn't have to be only. It's true. It doesn't have to be... to accomplish what he needs, it doesn't have to be only by Gerusan. But based upon what Rava says it can't be Begiusan because it doesn't make sense. Because Los Ischatem, there's no Chiton by definition. Right?
So you're not over an Avera if you
do. Not over an Avera if you Mekadesh Agaya, no. But there is some Isser. It's not clear what the Makor is. Some Isser of living with Agaya Derech Chasmus. You see?
Why... If we need some makor for it, then why is it obvious? That could be the makor.
So again, the reason you don't want to have that as the makor is because it implies that Kiddushin could be Tosin, that the Chiton is valid. For you, what you have to do if you want to read Rava 1, how did Rava 1 read it? He read Los Ischatein Bam means Chiton, it means that Chiton doesn't work and you can't live that way. Yeah, okay, but in the end, he didn't want, you know, he didn't want the Torah stating what the chalos was. The Torah just said, the Torah was stating a prohibition, not whether a chalos happens or not.
It's just that his rejection makes it seem like he was saying something ridiculous before, like, why would I need a pasuk to tell me that?
Well, you know, by the Ramban, you didn't see the Ramban yet, but one of the riot, Tosus asked the Kasha, any of you see Tosus yet? No, okay. Tosus asked the Kasha, remind me of the question. We'll stop now. Ask me, remind me about that question. What was Rava thinking in the first place? Is the comment the Ramban is a throwaway line, which sort of addresses something Tosfos raises, which is sort of dealing with your issue. Okay, so tomorrow, we finish with this Gemara. Tomorrow, we're going to start first thing, regular shiur. We're going to start with The Mishnah on Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So all you need to, what you need to know, the Maskana right now, is that Rabba's Havamina was that Los Ischatein Bam was Begiyusan, that there's no prohibition in the Torah whatsoever on Nesinim once they convert. But Rabba's Maskana seems to be that Los Ischatein Bam is Dafka when they convert, and then we'd have to explore the nature of that Isser.